Episode 150 of the Shock Jock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting podcast network. Sean St. Jacques back here with you with some more Knicks and NBA talk on a Friday in the month of May. We'll get to the NBA playoffs. We'll get to some Knicks news as we normally do around here. But first and foremost, thank you all for 150 big ones, 150 episodes of the podcast. It's all thanks to you. You guys are the best. I've said this time and time again, but I need to every time we hit a milestone like this. We're going to hit our 3-year anniversary, I believe, as well in July of this year. We wouldn't be here without all of you, and we can't wait to continue to do this podcast going forward. There is a little bit of a big announcement coming up in the next week or two, but I'll hold it off for then. So a little bit of a teaser for you guys there. Super excited to jump back into some Knicks and some NBA talk this week. It's been a fun week for me, you know, just broadcasting games like I normally do when I'm down here in Florida. It's been very exciting stuff. Again, if you want to keep up with what I'm doing on air as far as broadcasting, play-by-play work is concerned, go to @SStJ7 on Twitter. Doing a lot of soccer commentary, doing basketball as well. And throughout the year, get to do some baseball and other sports too. So very fun stuff, and that's the place to keep up with me. You can go to Instagram as well, although I don't post on there as much as I used to, but Twitter is normally the best place to go. I can easily retweet things, post highlights, things of that nature. So again, @SStJ7. And one more thank you for all of you for tuning in week after week, year after year, and for 150 episodes of this thing. We wouldn't be able to do it without all of you. So thank you so much. And again, stay well out there during all that's going on around the world. So let's jump in. Let's get to what you're here for. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs. And we had some blowouts. We had some drama in Boston. We had some towel waving and some arguing and some strong words being exchanged in Memphis. We'll get to all of that as well. But first and foremost, we'll get to some Knicks rumors and stories first. Have to do it on the 150th episode. I mean, we didn't get the chance to talk a lot of Knicks the last 2 weeks because there's nothing to talk about. It's just Jalen Brunson news and then some NBA prospect stuff. And we're holding off because the lottery is coming up and we want to have a full outlook on what things are going to look like for the draft lottery before it happens. I mean, the first thing we can mention is that there's a New York Post article out there saying that, you know, the James Dolan should represent the Knicks at the draft lottery. And I don't know if I speak for many Knicks fans when I say this. I hope I do, actually, but I don't care. He could stay at home for all I care. I really don't think that James Dolan is a great representation for the Knicks franchise as a whole. I think reports back that up. I don't think he should be there, frankly. I know it's not up to anybody except for him, but I really don't think he'd be helping anything by showing up. The article, I think, says that, based on the headline at least, says that he should. I disagree with that. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but we'll see. Again, the NBA draft lottery is coming up, and you know, the Knicks have short odds of really getting a big-time pick. So we'll have to see. And actually, it's closer than I realized. The draft lottery is in a few days, actually. So we will have full coverage of that next week on the next podcast. And that's when we'll in earnest really dive in to the NBA draft. So draft lottery is on Tuesday, May 17th. So we'll see. Again, the Knicks odds are not great. I think it should be mentioned. I'll double check the odds. I don't know if they changed, actually, the last time I looked. I should double check because I checked yesterday, but these things tend to change. Not the odds, but I should take a look just to confirm. So the Knicks' odds of getting the top pick are under 2%. That's basically, it's 1.5%. Knicks have 1.5% chance of getting the number one pick. They have a 1.7% chance. Oh, pardon me. I'm looking at the Clippers stuff here. A little all over the place. Excited for 150 episodes, it must be said. Knicks have a 2% chance getting the number one pick. 2.2% chance of getting the second pick. They have a 2.4% percent chance of getting the third pick and a 2.8% chance of getting in the top four. The best odds the Knicks have are really, they're going to probably be around, we're looking at like, I think it's much more likely the Knicks are going to be around the 10th or 11th pick in the draft. I think they have a 77% chance of being the 11th pick. So we'll see. I mean, the Knicks could get worse than that. They've got a 12% chance of being the 12th pick. So we'll see. But it's looking like around the Knicks will be 10th, 11th, maybe best case scenario, 8th or 9th in the draft. We'll see. But that's kind of what it's looking like at the moment. The Rockets, Magic, and Pistons have the best chance of getting the top pick, 14% chance. So we'll wait and see. We will wait and see what happens, but that'll take place on Tuesday. We'll have full reaction to that and where the Knicks could potentially be looking to pick next week and beyond. The draft really starts to take over this show next week. So we do have a few rumor mill things to look at this week in Knickerbocker land, of course. But listen, first and foremost, a lot of rumors more than actual stories out there. However, there was a hypothetical trade being discussed on ESPN's radio show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. The hypothetical three-way deal is this. Two people actually sent this to me, and I frankly, I'm not a fan of this trade whatsoever. It does not make the Knicks good. It makes the Knicks sellers. The three-team trade is this. It's between the Knicks, the Lakers, and the Bulls, which on paper sounds good, but then you're not going to like the actual trade. Zach LaVine would go to the Lakers. The Bulls would get Julius Randle and Evan Fournier, which would actually make them you lose Zach LaVine, but you get two players in return. The Knicks would get Russell Westbrook and two first-round picks to be taken in 2027 and 2028. And if that's not blowing up the team, I don't know what is. Now, I don't think this is a good trade at all for the Knicks short-term, and I really don't think it's a good trade long-term either for the Knicks, which is why, and I should mention this, it's why we don't talk about a lot of these proposals that people talk about in the media until there's names on it, like real names. Like, I get Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max have a big radio show, and some of them know people, whatever. But until insiders are actually reporting this stuff, I don't like to talk about it a ton. What made me bring this up is that this is a trade that has been talked about a little bit more than I think it should, because I really don't think, as long as Tom Thibodeau's there, the Knicks are not going to blow it up. But they do need to improve the team. This does not improve the team at all. It gets the Knicks a point guard in Russell Westbrook that really doesn't get them anywhere closer to being contenders to make a deep run in the playoffs, frankly. Russell Westbrook was just on a team with LeBron and AD, and they didn't make the playoffs. So it doesn't really help the Knicks whatsoever. The bigger one, actually, that was thrown out there this week was a Zion Williamson trade that the Knicks would be involved in. Again, multiple people were talking about it. Again, no sources are actually backing any of this stuff up. But the trade would basically be a gigantic trade. The NBA Analysis Network is estimating that the Knicks would have to give up Obi Toppin, Alec Burks, and five first-round picks for Zion Williamson. You see my point from earlier. This is why we don't touch on a lot of these, because they're absolutely ridiculous. So there's no way on God's green earth, especially with the fact that Zion Williamson is not only injured but overweight, there's no way the Knicks would pull the trigger on a trade like that. And frankly, there's no way anyone would pull a trade like that off with New Orleans. New Orleans, in my opinion, should stand pat, see if Zion can get healthy, and then see how he fits in with what you've already got. Because New Orleans was a big surprise package this postseason, especially with the way CJ McCollum integrated himself into that system. So doesn't make a whole lot of sense at all. Just really for fodder, to get your mouth watering for draft lottery night. There's a few draft lottery night notes here we can go over. The first one that is pretty notable is that Damian Lillard is going to represent the Portland Trail Blazers at the draft lottery Does that mean he'll stay? I don't know. I think he wants to stay, but I think if push comes to shove, the Trailblazers may have to trade him at some point. But he's a loyal guy. It's why I'd love to see him in a Knick uniform, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But he's going to be there. And again, that kind of, you know, prodded other people in talking about, you know, is James Dolan ever going to be on the NBA draft lottery dais? And the New York Post said it's about time. I don't think it's a great idea at all. I think if I'm James Dolan, for once, I think not being the center of attention might be a good idea. So maybe we shouldn't do that. We'll see. You never know with James Dolan. That guy is on another planet at times, it feels like, mentally. So I have no idea who the Knicks are going to be to have there to represent them. But to be honest, I don't really think it's that big of a deal. Maybe I'm a little bit hard-edged on that. I don't care who represents the Knicks, but when it's James Dolan, I think it there should be a conversation, right? I'd rather have a former player or a current player, you know, representing the Knicks, or even Tibbs or, you know, Leon Rose compared to James Dolan. So that would be my two cents. Again, is it that big of a deal? Not really. Not really. It doesn't matter a ton. So we'll see. Again, draft lottery is on May 17th. Again, a lot of you guys have been firing in, you know, thoughts on NBA draft stuff. Friends of mine have been hitting me up with, you know, where's the draft? Why aren't you talking draft? You know, things of that nature. And I'm telling them exactly what I'm telling you. Give me one more week here. One more week. Because I just want to know where the Knicks are picking. I want it concrete. I want it in stone. And I want to make sure, because again, it's all speculation until we know where the Knicks are actually going to be picking. And then you can really start to look at prospects that are in their range. Because if the Knicks get lucky and they move up to 6 or 7, we're talking about a different group of guys than if the Knicks are at around 9 or 10 or 11. So it changes quite a bit, especially in this draft, where after 6 or 7, there's a little bit of a drop-off, I would argue. So that's where this draft can get very interesting. And again, the Knicks, as far as addressing their needs, could change depending on if they're picking in the top 8 or if they're picking at 10th or 11th. So that's why we're holding off. And we've done some draft already. We've highlighted some prospects. We've highlighted some NCAA tournament things as well 3 or 4 episodes ago. Those would be what I'd recommend for you this week if you're hungry for draft talk around here. Until then, till next week. And you don't have to wait too much longer. One more week when the lottery is set, where we know the Knicks are picking, then we're going to dive. You know what we do around here. We dive headfirst in to NBA draft talk around here. You guys love it. I know it. Don't worry. I know how much you guys are loving draft talk, trade talk, free agency. We will get to all of it. There's a lot of again, the NBA season isn't even over yet. Keep that in mind. Season's not over yet. The Knicks season's over. The NBA season's not even over yet. So let's wait. Let's see what the draft lottery says, and then don't worry. We're going to get our bathing suit on, going to get the goggles on, and we're going to dive in head first. Don't worry. That's coming. We'll have probably at least 3 shows in a row that have some NBA draft talk on it after this week. So don't worry. It's coming, and you guys will have plenty of NBA draft content coming from this podcast in the next month or so. So, with that all being said, let's get to some NBA playoff talk. There's a lot to get to here. I do want to touch on the drama in Memphis between the Grizzlies and the Warriors. The longer that series goes on, the more the boil meter continues to get high in that series. But first, we should mention the other series as well, because to be fair, the Game 5 of that series kind of stunk on the court. But Heat Sixers is certainly heated up since last time we spoke. The Sixers actually got back in the series. They won Games 3 and 4. But as I kind of expected, the Heat returned to form in Game 5 and they blew the Sixers to pieces, 120-85 in South Beach. And it really wasn't a contest. The Heat were phenomenal defensively. The Sixers were dreadful at times defensively. And it turned out exactly as I kind of expected in that series. It's 3-2. Heat will have a good chance to win it in game six. And if not, I think they'll wrap it up in a game seven. Sixers have not looked like winning in Miami at all this series. While Miami's come close on one or two occasions to winning in Philly, so I do think Miami will wrap up this series. Phoenix got a heck of a punch back from Dallas in games three and four. I thought the Mavericks were phenomenal in games three and four of that series. However, Phoenix's firepower shined very bright in game five, winning by 30, 110 to 80, just as impressive as the Miami Heat were in their respective game five, to take a 3-2 series lead. So the Heat and the Suns are both 3-2 up, going back to Philly and Dallas respectively for a game six. I think both teams will probably win game six. I'd love to see the Phoenix Dallas series go to a game seven. I think that Dallas might have a shot at it, but I kind of feel like the top seeds here in the respective conferences will advance in six. Then, last night, Wednesday, again, the podcast is always recorded on the Thursday, out for the Friday morning. Oh my, what a game in Boston for game five. I will say, I thought that the Bucks could have maybe taken this in five games, maybe six, because of the way they played in game three, but, big but, Boston battled back to win game four in Milwaukee. Give the Ime Udoka's group a ton of credit. And frankly, they looked like they were going to win game five. Boston was up two possessions with 3 minutes left, and it looked like they were going to win it. That big Al Horford putback dunk in the final minutes looked like it could have been the dagger. But despite being bloodied up above his right eye, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Drew Holiday, oh my goodness, the defensive work from him in the final few moments of that game, ended up giving it to the Bucks. The big Bobby Portis putback as well off the Giannis free throw miss in the final seconds was huge as well. And Milwaukee stuns the TD Garden with a 110-107 win. Drew Holiday had the game-sealing steal, picking the pocket of Marcus Smart in the final seconds, and the Bucks win it by three to take a 3-2 series lead back to Milwaukee with a chance to close out the Celtics in what was a tremendous game, maybe the best game of the playoffs so far. It was that good. The finish was tremendous. Great game. It's been a great series between these two as we expected, and the Bucks will get their chance to seal it in game six in Milwaukee. And honestly, I think they will. Listen, Boston this postseason has been very, very strong. Now, they've dealt with a little bit of injuries with Robert Williams being in and out of the lineup at times. He's back in the fold, but not as much back, I think, as they would have hoped. But Al Horford has been unbelievably good. He's really been tremendous in this postseason. And a big reason why Boston, I thought, should have taken a 3-2 lead. He was unbelievably good in game four. He made a couple of ridiculously tough threes. And then in game five, I thought he was one of Boston's best players. And that's saying something with the way Brown and Tatum have been leading the charge for them this postseason. So Boston's very good, but I think the champs are better. And they showed it in game five. That was championship level defense from Drew Holiday. Giannis fighting through a cut above his eye, made a huge three as well to cut it to three with about a minute and a half left. That was a big bucket at the time. Celtics could have got up three possessions. Instead, the Bucks cut it back down to one possession. That's a huge swing in a playoff game. So give the champs their due. On the road in a hostile environment, Boston's TD Garden, it was a great game. And the last 3 minutes of that game were maybe the best 3 minutes of the postseason so far, at least in the conversation. So the Bucks take a 3-2 lead back to Milwaukee. Now, to be fair, Boston has already shown that they can win in Milwaukee in this series. So I wouldn't be shocked if we come back for a game seven, because Boston is not out of this series yet, but I think the champs will close them out, and I think they'll go into the Eastern Conference Finals, and barring a Philly miracle against Miami, I think it's going to be a Heat-Bucks Eastern Conference Finals, and my only response to that would be yes, please, because that would be a tremendous Eastern Conference Final. Those two teams have played in the past in the playoffs twice. The Heat destroyed them in the bubble. The Bucks cleaned them up pretty easily last year in, I think it was it five games, four games? I think they swept them, and it was five games in the bubble. So we'll see. I'd love to see a round three between those two in an Eastern Conference Final. It'd be a tremendous series, no doubt. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, drama in Memphis, Draymond Green's post-game interview, and much more on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. Memphis and Golden State, what a series. That series is the gift that keeps on giving. Listen, let's recap the series so far. The team split in Memphis for games one and two. Two great games, frankly. They were really, really strong. Really strong contests, with Golden State winning game one, Memphis winning game two. Then, game three was a rout. Warriors blew them out by 30, 142-112. In game three, Memphis lost Ja Morant. And things looked like they were going to go south for Memphis, but they were leading in game four for large stretches of it. However, Golden State clawed it out without Ja Morant to deal with. They won it 101-98, and they took a 3-1 lead back to Memphis for a game five that could have seen Golden State close it out, except even without Ja Morant, Memphis blew them away, 134-95. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the biggest blowout this postseason. I think it, well, actually, the Dallas win over Utah actually comes to mind, so maybe not, but though it's one of the biggest margins of victory this postseason, and let's talk the game first, then we'll get to the extracurriculars after. You know, Golden State stayed in it for the first quarter, but after that, it was a blowout. I think at one point it was 101-56, I think, in the third quarter. Grizzlies outscored the Warriors 39-22 in the second quarter, but the big one was the third quarter, 42-17. The Grizzlies outscored Golden State, and frankly, this is pretty disgraceful from the Warriors, because they were at full strength. Everybody was out there. Steph Curry had 14 points. Kuminga had 17, 19 for Klay Thompson. That led all Golden State scorers. And Draymond Green, who was, you know, basically took an early shower, at 5 points and 7 rebounds in 22 minutes. And very quickly, Steve Kerr waved the white flag. Nobody for Golden State played more than 25 minutes in this game. Curry and Thompson did, and nobody else managed it. So pretty pathetic, I would argue, from Golden State. They had a real good chance to close this series out, and they just basically rolled the ball to Memphis and said, we'll see you in Cali for game six. Not a fan of it, to be honest with you, especially without Ja Morant out there for Memphis, but I think Golden State feels they'll seal it up in six games, and they waved the white flag midway through the third quarter and said, we'll rest up for game six. So not a fan of that, if I'm being totally honest with you. I really don't think that they should have done that. I think they should have at least tried to get back into the game, and then maybe in the fourth you do that. But by the third quarter, they were basically done, and then Draymond Green was literally waving a white flag, if you will. He was waving a white towel around during the second part of this conversation, which was the whoop that trick dance, it's a song by a Memphis-born rapper. Is it Capone? I apologize if I mispronounced that. But the song was in the movie Hustle and Flow, and it's like a Memphis anthem now at Memphis Grizzly games. It's actually amazing to watch, I have to say. It's very cool to see, and everyone was getting into it. The game was over. I think it was in the third quarter when Golden State had kind of stopped playing, basically. And Draymond Green was, you know, waving his towel to the song with the, you know, the hype team that Memphis had there for the game. I think Capone was actually, I don't know if he was there for that game, but he's been there to actually hype him up with the song in years past. But yeah, I not a fan of it if I'm a Golden State fan. But Draymond Green, I think, was just doing it to say, yeah, it doesn't matter, we're going to beat you in game six, kind of a vibe. Again, you know, not really cool with it. It's Memphis's thing. And Golden State, I guess you could say, was mocking it, but it's childish, in my opinion. And they wiped you off their floor. So what else do you expect them to do? Jordan Poole, I think, was bopping around to it. There was a YouTube video saying he was dancing to it. That wasn't a dance. I think he was just, you know, going with the beat. I don't think there's as much wrong with that as what Draymond Green did. But, you know, the real drama came after the game was over. Draymond Green's post-game comments, which I thought were, what's the best way to say it? He was being himself. First of all, you know, this is a guy that's very good at getting under people's skin. But after a 39-point loss, and again, Memphis at one point were leading by like 55, I think. It was pretty bad. You know, he does the whoop that trick stuff, and then Draymond Green after the game says, quote, "They're not going to whoop that trick alone. We're going to whoop that trick together if we're going to whoop that trick," which is just a pretty dumb line. Then Green says, quote, "We got our bleeps kicked. That's all right. It happens. When you spew it out, you got to be willing to take it, not hide from it, not duck from it, not run from it, embrace it. So I appreciated the crowd tonight, the energy they brought to the game. If they want to whoop that trick, we'll whoop them together." And then he kind of went on to say that we're going to whoop their butts in game six, basically, is kind of what he was trying to say at the end. So why I'm not a fan of it is because, yeah, you can embrace it, right? You can embrace getting your butt kicked. But dancing along to their song, I don't know if that's embracing it. I think you're just being the class clown who's getting yelled at by the teacher, and then continues to throw the paper airplane around and trying to hit people in the face. Like, that's not really embracing it. It's being a jerk, and I think that Draymond Green can be a jerk. That's part of his mantra on the court. But I did kind of feel like that was a, you know, pointless act. All you were doing was, you know, making yourself look stupid. And now if anything, you're motivating Memphis to get back into the series. I think that probably is what should frustrate Golden State fans more than anything. You just gave them a lifeline back into this series, and now you're dancing with them in game five. And it's like, that's not great. You're inviting them to almost peek, you know, crack the door back open. And it, you know, Draymond got a technical in the 2016 finals when they lost the series after leading 3-1. Just saying, Golden State's got a history of blowing leads like this in big moments. I wouldn't be messing around if I was Golden State. You got a chance to put your rival to bed. You take the chance. You don't give them a lifeline and give a good team like Memphis a chance to force a game seven. I think you put them away. You can put them away, you know, and maybe Golden State felt at that time it was better to wait to game six, but be careful what you wish for, because Memphis could go to Golden State and win. I know they haven't yet in this series, but be careful. That's all I'm saying. If you're Golden State, you got to be very careful, because this Grizzlies team is good. And now, again, I know the other part of this is that Ja Morant is hurt, and Memphis on the road in the playoffs has not been very good without Ja Morant. I think it's very clear to see that, but I should say that, you know, again, you don't want to give anybody a chance. Now, to be fair, Ja Morant is unlikely to return in this series, but he might just say at one point, you know what, I'm going to try and do this. And if you win game six and there's a game seven, I wouldn't be shocked if Ja Morant tried to play. It's on your home floor with a chance to advance to the next round. And listen, in the playoffs, you try to win as quickly as possible, and I was really disappointed with the way the Golden State Warriors dealt with Game 5 from start to finish. And if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm a little concerned going into Game 6. You better be out there ready to go, or things are going to be very, very difficult for a game seven. Now, there was a little bit of shade from Ja Morant. He retweeted a tweet of, I think it was a video of Draymond Green and the Warriors getting mocked for the way they whooped that trick in game five. And he just replied with laughing emojis, basically is, you know, whoop that trick. The tweet was whoop that trick, got your bleep whooped. Famous Lowe's 32 tweeted that out. Listen, it is what it is. Memphis gets to, you know, throw shade at Golden State. These two teams don't like each other. You know, I think that should be that should be reiterated. There's a rivalry here. These two teams don't like each other. Ja Morant's rubbed it in their face that without him, they destroyed them and forced a game six. And now we'll see. You know, we'll see if Golden State can back up the talk with some acts here and finish off this series. But I love the rivalry. I love the trash talk. I just thought the only thing I really don't have I don't have time for is Draymond Green dancing when you're getting blown out on the road and you still have to finish things off in game six when the game is in the third quarter. I'm not a fan of it. Not a fan of it. You know, I know there's people out there that'll defend Draymond. I've defended Draymond Green at times in the past. But this, how can you defend this? I'm not a fan of it. I really don't think that this is the kind of thing that's going to spark you on to win a game six. If anything, I think it's going to help Memphis out with their momentum. And again, this is the tricky part about the playoffs. If Golden State gets off to a slow start and Memphis builds a lead like they did in game five, or I should say in game four, pressure's on and Golden State can be beaten. You know, I really feel that. I really feel, even without Ja Morant, that Golden State can be beaten in a game six. And then game seven, who knows? Who knows what will happen? So Golden State has got to be very careful here. They've blown 3-1 leads before. We'll see. Game six, we'll talk about it next week, and we'll see if Golden State will advance. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. So just to recap before we wrap up the show, I feel like Miami is going to finish off Philly. I love to see the fight back from Philly. Joel Embiid has been fighting through an injury for a good chunk of this series. He helped them get it back to 2-2 with some strong performances in games 3 and 4. Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey also played very well for Philly at home to tie the series. But when push came to shove in Miami, the Heat whacked him again. They really took him down and really shredded them to pieces in game five. And I think that they're going to win the series in six. I don't think, listen, Philly could force a game seven, but this series feels inevitable. And I feel like Miami is going to finish them off, whether it's in game six or in game seven. I just don't think that Philly's got enough left in the tank to win this series. So I'll see Miami advancing in that first one. And then I think that Milwaukee will probably wrap it up in game six. I love the way this series has gone. I think it's the best series of the round, with the potential for, you know, again, more drama to develop between Memphis and Golden State. But the games-wise, the series between the Bucks and the Celtics has just been off the charts good. And there's really no debating that. So I do think Milwaukee will end it in six, but it's going to be a heck of a game. I think Boston's going to need to be put away. This is not going to be a team that you can just, you know, keep giving chances to. So I think that the Bucks will win game six. If not, I mean, it's a coin flip game in game seven. It really is. But I'll see Milwaukee going. I see Milwaukee advancing to take on the Miami Heat in the East. Game six in Dallas, potentially, could be very interesting. Similar situation with Philly, except I think Dallas is a little bit fresher. So I think that Dallas could force a game seven here. I really do. I know Phoenix, for the most part, has dominated this series, but it's 3-2. Give Dallas their credit. Games 3 and 4, they were very good. But I could see Dallas forcing a game seven. I do think Phoenix will advance. but I think they'll advance in seven. I'm going to pick Dallas. And I know I kind of tiptoed around it for a couple of seconds there, but I think Dallas wins game six. And I think that they will advance. They will force a game seven, and I think the Phoenix Suns, will advance to the Western Conference Finals. Warriors have made this a little bit more trickier than they needed to. I really believe that. I think Memphis has now got a little bit of fuel here to add to the fire. Again, no Ja Morant most likely for game six, and if necessary, a game seven. However, I do kind of feel like Golden State is going to wrap this up in game six. But if they don't, I could see Ja Morant fighting through it and trying to play a little bit in game seven, and then maybe Memphis shocks Golden State. And again, 3-1 up, Golden State. You got to be very careful. You got to make sure you finish the job, because good teams like Memphis need to be put away. You know, that's the thing, right? And I mentioned this earlier. In the NBA playoffs, there are teams where you're like, you know what, we should finish them off. And maybe you give them a game, and then you're able to kind of finish the job, right? But there are teams that need to be put away. There are teams that you need to beat. There are teams you need to finish off. They're wounded, but they're not dead, for lack of a better phrase, right? And you've got to put them away. You got to finish the job. And almost every team left, I think Philly maybe is the only exception, you got to put them away. You got to finish the job and end the series. And that's why I'm worried a little bit for Golden State. Memphis has just been given a little bit of a shot of adrenaline, and I'm going to be very interested to see where that leads in this series, because these teams hate each other. Memphis wants to pull off the upset. It's not a seed upset, but I think Golden State, we can all agree, are the favorites in this series. They want to do it, and Golden State just gave them a lifeline in Game 5 and in a big way. So, you know, you hear sometimes that blowouts don't have the same effect sometimes as you know, demoralizing, you know, last-second shots, one-point defeats, stuff like that. However, Memphis is a deep team, even without Ja Morant. The numbers back that up. You just gave them a shot of adrenaline in Game 5. They'd feel confident now that they can come back to your house and force a game seven. That's motivation enough, right? To force a game seven in your building with a chance to beat your rivals. Memphis is going to be all ready to go in game six. And I'm just saying, this lackadaisical, yeah, whoop that trick, wave that towel, you know, that's not going to fly in game six. And it's not going to fly if Golden State loses game six and has to travel on back to Memphis, and they're going to be whoop that trick again in game seven. So be careful what you wish for, Draymond, Golden State, everybody, because Memphis might just pull this off and send it back to game seven. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Don't live to regret it if you're Golden State. That's what I'm going to say on that front. With that being said, I trust Stephen Clay. I trust the depth that Golden State has. I think they'll win this series. However, you just gave the Grizz a little bit of life, and they're not hibernating just yet. You got to put them away, and we'll see if Golden State can manage it. I think it'll be Phoenix, Golden State. I think it's going to be Miami against Milwaukee, but we'll see. The NBA playoffs have had some stunners so far, at least game-wise, maybe not upset-wise, but we'll see. We'll see. It's why we watch the games. It's why we got to see what happens, and we'll talk about it next week on the podcast and recap what happens, and we'll see if the series are still going, and we'll have to wait. I think the series should be done by then. We'll have game sixes and potential game sevens by that point. But next week we'll recap the semifinals in the East and in the West, and then we'll have Western Conference Finals and Eastern Conference Finals to talk about next week, on top of NBA draft lottery projections. The results. We'll talk about NBA draft lottery and NBA draft projections. At long last, we'll know where the Knicks are picking in the first and second rounds, confirmed. And then we will see who they'll be looking at potentially to try and add to this Knicks squad and improve them going into next season. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Shock Shock Knicks podcast. Thank you all so much, as always, for listening. And thank you all so much for 150 episodes. here's to the next 150. Thank you all so much. We have a nice, cool special announcement coming up. Hopefully the next week or two, I can share that with you all as well. Until then, have a great week, and I will see you all next time on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network.